And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the outset of the season of Epiphany, we consider the truth that the salvation that God was working out in time for the human race was finally revealed to the Gentiles. That is, salvation in the Messiah, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, would not only be for the Jews, but for all humankind. At the incarnation of Christ, the flag of salvation unfurled to reveal that the chosen people had delivered Christ to the world through the line of David, but that the door, Christ Jesus himself, was as open to the genuflection of the Gentiles, signified by the truth that the child was open to the genuflection of strangers from the east who traveled from far and came bearing gifts and worship. That salvation was open to everyone. The Gentiles, that is, you and I, were not only to be observers of God's interaction with his people, or only at rare times here and there allowed to participate in what God is doing, but through Christ we have been invited in. Given the power to become the children of God, not only as Naaman was, as he was healed in the River Jordan, as Ruth was, who was invited in, as Rahab was, who was brought in on the plan of God, only on rare occasions, special acts of God, but now our ready acceptation of his divine intervention was openly welcomed. These kings, these wise men, were representatives of you and me. Decades later, St. Paul would write to the Gentiles in Ephesus words that could have been written to these wise men. When he wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In observance of the season of Epiphany, which is very short this year, actually, pre-Lent will be upon us before you know it, the church intentionally draws our attention week by week not only to the revelation of Christ to the Gentiles, but towards several other epiphanies. First of all, today, the epiphany of St. Mary and St. Joseph at the Temple of Jerusalem when Jesus was 12. Jesus, who was born into a household with a very highly favored mother, with an exceptionally humble and observant father, was at age 12, without a doubt, as with all the other 12-year-old boys at the time, being prepared for his bar mitzvah. Jesus was approaching the age when he would become a man in the eyes of the Jewish culture and a full participant in the faith of the people of God, no longer a Christ child. It truly did make some sense that he would be behind at the temple and that he should be found there after his mother and father discovered he had not come with them on the journey back to Nazareth in Galilee. But when his parents found him there, after not having understood where he had gone and not understanding what could have been going through his mind to stay behind, he said something else that would be very difficult to understand. They, exasperated as parents ought to be in such a circumstance, addressed him with a very serious tone. And I can imagine Mary and Joseph having this conversation and deciding that Mama would take this one. Son, and let me say this as calmly as I possibly can. Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. Sorrow, son, not curiosity, not interest, sorrow. Jesus' answer is stunning. He does not validate the sorrow. He doesn't even apologize. Jesus says, essentially, something bigger is happening here. I'm not obligated to explain this to you. But you will understand when the time comes for you to understand. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And the scriptures do say that he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject to them at that time, but not before pointing out that all things were not equal here. They understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. Now, Jesus was 12 at the time, and we do not receive another insight into the adolescence or early adulthood of Christ until his late 20s. The scriptures provide nothing, and so the narrative moves quickly from Luke chapter 2, where Jesus was 12 years old at the temple, to Luke chapter 3, where Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. So, returning to our passage for today and using a little mathematics, we learn something about the experience of St. Mary. For the scriptures here tell us, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Earlier in this chapter, but 12 years earlier to St. Mary, shepherds had appeared, saying that they had heard a message from a host of angels. Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, for in the city of David a Savior is born, which is anointed. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, the Lord. And the angels had even predicted that they would find him lying in a manger. And when these stunned shepherds finally left their visitation, Luke says these words, all they that heard it wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. When Jesus is brought to the temple for his presentation, 40 days after his birth, there was a man named Simeon who prophesied over Jesus. And the scriptures say that same chapter 2 of Luke, she marveled at the words that he said. And now when Jesus is found at the temple and gave that response, she did not explode in anger. She stored up these things and pondered them in her heart. That's a lot of pondering and storing and marveling for one chapter. If you're imagining St. Mary pondering these things in the same way that you remember a good vacation that you had, where there were some great memories and you ponder them sometimes, you have to think again. She was not creating a scrapbook of memories about Jesus that she was pondering. In both cases of Luke chapter 2, where we learn that St. Mary was storing up things in her heart and pondering events, the events were those that were not understood. Happenings that could not fully be understood for years to come. For us, it's the turn of a page, chapter 2, chapter 3. For her, it was almost three decades from the time of the shepherds, and over 15 years since the time she thought she lost him in Jerusalem. She pondered things she had not understood for year upon year upon year, things she could not have possibly known about the events in her own life. She could not have understood what these things meant until much, much later. Does that sound familiar? Or does that resonate with you? The meaning of the events of your own life, things that happened to you or right in front of your face, the meaning of which was not revealed to you until decades later. For that matter, the significance of the current events of your life have not always been revealed to you. And more to the point today, considering the experience of the Holy Family in Jerusalem on that Passover festival, you can ask yourself, has there ever been a time in your life where you sought for Christ earnestly, a vision from him, a word from him, a glimpse of what he's doing or why he's doing it, and you receive nothing? And you asked of the Lord, where in the world were you this whole time? Couldn't you see that we sought you, even sorrowing? Jesus, listen, not curious as to where you were and not interested to know, but sorrowing we sought you. And some ask God, where are you right now? And what is returned to you is not a rush of emotion or the gift of tears or a special vision or something just for you, but even silence and sometimes years of silence. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm searching for you as Mary and Joseph search for you, and I'm starting to get worried. When Mary and Joseph found Jesus, they presumed something had gone wrong, and they had just narrowly avoided some catastrophe by finding their son, and they were sure that Jesus had been wrong, that this had been a senseless act. A fitting time in which to ask a rhetorical question of the Lord: why have you dealt with us this way? Why did you hide yourself from us? Don't you know you should never do that? Don't you know that however I need you and whenever I need you, you're supposed to be right there, no more than 3 feet away, like a multi-tool on a keychain, like a wallet, or like keys to the car? Jesus, you're supposed to be in my pocket. And when they exposed their thoughts to him, that's when there was an epiphany, an answer that could not be fully understood at the time, only years later. In the meanwhile, what was exposed to them was something like a lack of faith. When St. Mary pondered in her heart, it was not her deep understanding of the meaning of these things, but the mystery of them. She was greatly troubled at the message of Gabriel about bearing Christ, and she pondered the appearance of the shepherds with their story. She marveled at the words of Simeon. She pondered again and treasured Jesus' strange response after being found in the temple at Jerusalem. At the resurrection, 32 years later, she could finally see how angels would rightly declare that her son could be a source of great joy to all people, as the angels had said to the shepherds. At the crucifixion, 32 years later, she could understand Simeon's words: this child is destined to call the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce through your heart also, Mary. As he preached and healed people, 18 years after being found at the temple, she could more fully understand how he must be about his father's business. And so we see, God is not against allowing us to ponder what he is doing. He is not above revealing himself to us only in his good timing. And he is not averse to allowing us to see some things, but not all things, to allow us to treasure mystery in our hearts also. God is not against withholding a complete revelation to you, but instead opening you to mysteries that require you to believe and follow him anyway. He is not lost. You are not lost. And when you catch a greater glimpse of him in your life, you can be assured that he will be about his father's work. In the meanwhile, treasure, store up, ponder the works of God, and set yourself to doing God's work as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.